Okay, we're ready on the Ellis case, whenever you are.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yes, sir.
May Police Court, my name is Charles Higgin. I represent Emmanuel Ellis, who was convicted in a jury trial in Hampton of one count of robbery and one count of use of a firearm, got an active sentence of 7 years. This was a case that was originally tried in January of 2014, a jury trial then, in which I presented the evidence of the social media printout showing that that Ellis possessed a pair of sneakers absolutely identical to the ones that were alleged to be stolen more than a year before the occurrence of the robbery in August of 2013. The social media printout from Facebook showed Mr. Ellis and his two buddies standing there in a social media printout posted June 30th, 2012. They're making some obscene gestures there, but they are the type of shoes he is wearing. It's a very peculiar design that he can be observed on. And so we effectively used that evidence at the original trial. The case resulted in a hung jury. Second time round, the Commonwealth decides, well, we're going to seek to take away that best piece of evidence that the defendant had. We're going to make a motion in limine, arguing that this evidence is inadmissible because maybe it's unreliable. It's possible technically for someone to get on the internet and post and change the date on this. It's a technical procedure, but it is technically possible. And so we want to have the evidence from being excluded at all, have the date on the social media printout redacted to prevent the jury from even seeing this date at all. And of course, I objected that authenticating a social media printout is exactly like authenticating a photograph. Is this an accurate representation of the document that you posted on June 30th, 2012? Yes, this is it. It's accurately, reliably represents what I posted. And it's that's all that has to be established.
But if it comes to just authenticating a photograph itself, I take it you would agree that you see sometimes photographs taken with a digital camera that purports to timestamp at the time the photograph is taken, and for some reason the correct date is not logged into the camera at the time the photograph is taken, so that the time and date stamp has no reasonable relationship to when the photograph was actually taken.
That could be, but that's an issue of credibility. That's a decision for the jury to decide whether this is worthy of belief. It's not a decision of the judge took away from the jury the opportunity to consider whether they thought that the defendant here had the technical know-how how to modify the date stamp on a Facebook posting,
but the
whether he would have had access.
The difference being, though, if the photograph is admitted to just show the accuracy of the photograph itself as opposed to the timestamp, you don't have to worry about the credibility of the timestamp. Here, the photograph was not necessarily being used just for the purpose of showing what the photograph contains, but using it for the truth of the matter asserted with the time or the date stamp.
Correct? It was direct evidence supporting the defendant to testify to. I posted a photograph with a pair of showing myself wearing a pair of shoes identical to those that were stolen, and the date I posted was more than a year beforehand. And it supported.
He did not create the date stamp himself, though, correct? He claimed to have uploaded on that date. He did not go in there and manually put in the date. This was done through servers over which he had no control, correct?
That's right.
Why wouldn't he need to have somebody, whether it's a computer expert or someone from Facebook, showing that, yes, there's no way to manipulate this? You can rely on the authenticity and the accuracy of this.
As I cited in my brief.
That's his burden, not the Commonwealth's, correct?
As I cited in my brief, I cited the article by David Shern with the ABA litigation website, the authentication of social media postings. And he wrote that the foundation to satisfy whether the exhibit is actually a printout from a given social media website is rather straightforward. There's no need to call a representative of the social media company at issue to satisfy this element of the foundation. It's just as a similarly situated witness would not be required in other settings. They go on to say the most straightforward manner of laying a sufficient foundation would be simply to have the witness testify that he or she is the person who printed out the posting, that he or she recalls the appearance of the printout that he or she made from the social media site, and that he recognizes the exhibit as that printout. This, of course, is similar to the method routinely used for authenticating a photograph or other demonstrative exhibit. Here, as with other evidence, this ought to be enough to satisfy the rather liberal threshold for the federal rule 901-8. And I note that the Virginia rule, the 2:901 of the Virginia rules of evidence, is the analog to 901-8. It serves as presumptive liberal rule of admissibility of evidence. The judge totally disregarded the rule 2:901, employed this extraordinary and rule for admissibility of the evidence that's not supported by any case law, not supported by the Virginia rules of evidence, not supported by the traditional rules concerning admissibility of photographs or of social media. There's not a whole lot of case law on admissibility of Facebook postings, but to the extent it's there, the standard the judge used was entirely different. The judge says, and sustained the motion in limine, as she said, I'm going to tell you what my concern is. I really don't know anything about Facebook. I've never been on it. I don't know anything about it. I think that's the problem of the majority of the people. I would suggest that the judge may not be familiar with Facebook, but an awful lot. I sincerely question the statement that the majority of people don't know what Facebook is.
But
don't have an idea of what.
But ultimately, what the judge ruled was that there was not a proper foundation.
Right, but employing a standard that is entirely not supported by any case law in the Commonwealth.
But there was no foundation, right?
I'm sorry?
No foundation was laid at all.
Well, we made a proffer of the foundation that the defendant would testify to the circumstances, the date on which he posted, June 30th of 2012, that he got on the computer, he posted this photo that he'd taken of himself and his two buddies, and this photo accurately depicts what he posted on that date. And that's all the authentication is required under the traditional rules of authentication.
And your argument is that that it would then go to weight rather than admissibility.
Right. And so if the Commonwealth, they say, well, no, we shouldn't let the jury consider this at all because maybe it's been tampered with. Maybe it's been doctored in some way. Well, that's the question for the jury to decide.
But the traditional rule of authentication is for what the photograph depicts, not something that's stamped on top of the photograph, correct?
This was direct evidence, demonstrative evidence of his testimony that he posted a photo on Facebook more than a year prior to the date. And the fact of the stamp corroborates his assertion that I posted it. But then suddenly now we had to go to trial without this really critical bit of evidence supporting his statement. You just have to go and completely unsupported and say, I posted, I can't show you the Facebook, show him the date stamp.
But typically that date stamp would not show up on Facebook, where his testimony would have been the scene is truly the photograph truly and accurately depicts the scene as it existed at the time that I posted it, but it's the machine that then applies the date stamp when the document is printed out.
Routinely in the posting, the act of uploading onto the internet, in the process of uploading, there is created a date stamp on the Facebook media page saying uploaded on the date of June 30th of 2012. And so that was the thing. And then later on it's printed out, they're showing the date there. So the Commonwealth wanted to argue to the jury, well, The defendant must have, and he gets arrested the day after the very arrest, and he stays in secure detention the entire time afterwards. And so if the Commonwealth wants to argue that this guy, that the defendant possessed the technical know-how, how to modify that date stamp, and somehow he got access to a computer and got access to his camera and was able to upload that from secure detention where you have no access to command. They think one of them make that argument, that's something for the jury to decide. But the judge removed that decision from the jury.
If we adopt your way of thinking on this, help me reason through this. Doesn't this essentially allow a party to virtually create evidence, and doesn't it then put the party that's in opposition to that evidence on almost the reverse burden, where they then have to bring in somebody to defeat what the other party hasn't laid sufficient foundation for? That is to say, couldn't then the Commonwealth create some time stamp? They say, well, this establishes that the defendant was there at this particular time, and you're saying, but they haven't laid a foundation or authenticated that. They could have created that. And then you all of a sudden have the burden of disproving what they didn't have the burden of proving to begin with.
It's technically possible for the defendant to modify a photograph. I mean, any time you're using a digital,
we're not camera. Talking about modifying the photograph. We're talking about modifying the stamp that is on top of the photograph. It has nothing to do with what the photograph depicts.
And all that's certainly possible, but that's an issue for the jury. All of that.
But it's not an issue until it gets to the jury, and that's right. What we're talking about.
And all that had to be done to do the proper authentication was simply to say this accurately depicts what I did. This is accurate. This is the photo uploaded. This is the page uploaded it onto, and this reflects the date that I uploaded the photograph.
So your position is the timestamp on the photo does not fall into the same category as computer generated documents, which require a very specific type of authentication.
I think the lengthy quotation I made about how to authenticate social media postings,
which came from an ABA journal,
right? And I've cited lots of cases.
I assume that was a prosecutor that wrote that article.
But I certainly note that I cite a lot of cases from other states. This is not some unusual standard that I'm advocating. The unusual standard that was employed was the judge's standard that's not based on any case law that I can find to say, well, the possibility that maybe, I don't really understand Facebook, therefore I'm not going to let it. I'm going to rely on the reserve of my time.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. Blank? Why wouldn't the typical foundation work that the defendant testifies, this truly and accurately depicts the screen that existed on my computer on such and such a day, including the posting date? And then if there's evidence to show that he actually manipulated that, then that comes in. But wouldn't the adequate foundation be the same as a typical photograph?
If I may, Your Honor, first off, let me introduce myself. My name is John Blanton. I'm here on behalf of the Commonwealth. May it please the court. I think what's at issue and where the confusion is we're talking about Facebook postings, social media postings, and authenticating them. Generally, you're talking in a realm of, did you post this? And unfortunately, it's in news too much. This threat to a college campus, this threat to a high school campus, this threat to another person. The date is not necessarily what's at issue there. It's whether or not I posted on my Facebook page that I'm going to go to such and such a place and I'm going to do whatever. That's what's being authenticated. Once you've got on the Facebook page, to bring up something that was raised up earlier this month, this is sort of a metadata. You've got the picture, and right below it, you have a date. It's not part of the posting. It just says the posting was done on this date. And as the Commonwealth said, it is very simple. It's not a technical matter to go and change that date. You take your mouse, you hover over the date, and you can change the date, so long as that's your Facebook page.
But the same rationale would apply to authentication of photographs. For example, today you can manipulate a photograph so that it shows anything. And if we take the position that the Commonwealth is asserting here, it seems to me that you wind up, the logical extension is no photographs, that you cannot lay a foundation for a photograph any longer by saying, well, truly and accurately depicts the scene as it existed. Digital photographs can be manipulated, and therefore that should be eliminated.
But you've got somebody saying this truly and accurately depicted the scene at that point in time.
But isn't that what the defendant was saying in the proffer, that this is what was shown on my computer screen on that day?
I put it there, is what he was saying.
And he didn't testify to that. He didn't have the opportunity to testify to that.
Right, but you would admit the evidence would be much stronger if the photo had the date that it was posted to show that it was done prior to,
To be honest with you, I don't know what it shows. I mean, the photo is clearly taken before the date of the robbery. The young man, Mr. Ellis, had longer hair. It's clearly the daytime if you look at, and the robbery occurred.
Right, that goes to other issues, but the admissibility point, I guess the question becomes, is it admissible under traditional, as like a photo, or is it admissible under the Godoy standard, as far as computer-generated items go?
I think it goes back to the Godoy, because the date, and I'm going to speak a little bit here from personal knowledge, and so take this for what it's worth. My background is in computers. But the computer date timestamp that comes onto that Facebook page is from your computer. So you can manipulate the date on your computer. A user can manipulate the date on the screen. It's a question of how accurate that date is. And on brief, we did cite to two cases from New York where the court, there was a videotape of a sports event with a timestamp in the corner. There was a clock at the stadium that said it was 9 p.m. or something like that. And the court ruled that it wasn't admissible because you couldn't prove that the clock was accurate that was being shown there. And the other case was where the officer arrested a woman for serving alcohol after, I guess, 2 a.m. in New York, and he said he got the time off a radio station time check. And the court said, you didn't prove that that was an accurate time.
So is your position that every time anybody wants to put a Facebook post into evidence, they would have to produce somebody from Facebook or some computer forensic expert to testify that the date
appears to be accurate
and genuine?
Because there's a post and there's a date. They are two separate things. And generally, as I said earlier, when you're talking about authenticating the post, that's the post, the picture or the statement or whatever, the status that I'm in.
So you're saying the defendant could testify to that?
To the picture,
to the post itself,
because it is a computer-generated date, and we don't know how it's generated. It may come to a point in time that courts recognize, and Facebook changes the way the date done. The date does become. You can go in and pull out the date that it was posted, and then I think it's a different question. Right now, the Commonwealth raised that question. Asked the court to deny admissibility of the time, date, stamp, not the photograph, because it was not shown to be a reliable date. And as a proponent of that evidence, Mr. Ellis had to make a foundation. But he made no foundation for the time, date, stamp.
I keep coming back to the same thing could be said about digital photographs now. They can be manipulated. And so to lay the foundation, so no, that truly and accurately depicts the scene as it existed at the time the photograph was taken. But
Mr. Ellis wasn't there. Mr. Ellis did not testify at the hearing in the motion to eliminate.
But there was a proffer.
There was a proffer to that effect. That's what he would say. That's what the screen looked like on the day that I posted it.
And again, but he's looking at the photo and said, the time date stamp was there on the day he's saying that.
Right.
Again, we don't know the accuracy of the time date because it can be manipulated. We don't know how Facebook generates that.
So what's your position as to how that should have come in?
I think he needed someone there from Facebook to say, this has been modified, but here's the original posting date, and it No, this is the original posting date. I think they needed somebody to come in and say this was the original posting date. Or to at least counter, because the Commonwealth said, you can do this, this, and this. If they brought in someone and said, no, you can look at this particular one and it's not, you can tell by X, Y, and Z. I think he needed to come in and present some evidence to show that the time was accurate. And I think he failed to do that.
Let's go back to your threat, your comparison about a threat by way of Facebook, wherein you do need to establish a date on which a threat is made. And if you're prosecuting someone, they're on the witness stand, and you've got a Facebook, you've printed out screenshots of their Facebook page that specifies what the post is, the time and date the post is made. And you're trying to cross-examine someone as to the time and date that they did that, and they deny it, and you want to get that record in because it's their Facebook page for the time and date to establish that. Are you saying that you could not do that unless you bring someone in to establish
the time and date? If you had a witness there who saw a post at that time, I think that would be one thing different. I think if you brought in someone who saw, and I think a lot of those are, and I'm not always up to date on these things, but I think you're trying to show that it was done before such and such a date, right?
Or at on such and such a date, or
you could bring in. I saw the posting on my. I have a Facebook page. This post get posted to mine. I forget how all this stuff works. I don't really use Facebook myself anymore. But you do get other people's feeds. So the point of putting that thread up there on Facebook is to let some people know. So you could have someone come in and say, on that date, I saw his post come up. And that would be authentication for that date. Or you could go to Facebook and get someone to come in and authenticate that date for you as well.
Well, actually, there was additional corroboration here in that the defendant looked very much different. The picture showed what he looked like back then, and he was wearing those shoes. Or wearing the same kind of shoes.
I won't even go that they were the same kind of shoes. It's a black and white grainy photo. You can't hardly see one shoe. Excuse my vernacular there. You can't really see one shoe. I don't know what shoes they were. If I'm a juror, I got a shoe here and a shoe and a picture of something fuzzy. I don't think it was actually. And that was the whole point in our harmless error is it doesn't really show anything of value in his defense. And I don't, you know, to look at it and say, oh, I got a mistrial in the first trial because I had this evidence, is to do what you're not supposed to do, and that's go back behind and think what the jurors did. What the jurors, they may have decided, he's a nice looking, somebody may have decided, he's a nice looking boy, he couldn't have done that. You get jurors like that. I don't believe the victim. You don't know why. The fact that he got a mistrial, that's his bonus the first time around. That has nothing to do, we can draw no conclusions from that.
I'm just concerned about the unintended consequences of if we wind up establishing a new way to authenticate photographic evidence, and I realize the date stamp is separate from the photograph, it's all printed out together. I mean, there could be some unintended ramifications here.
I understand. May I?
Yes, please.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I have been taking medication that seems to give me the dry mouth.
Yes. Well, that was the excuse that Mr. McCracken used yesterday, too.
He's back for another round.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. I understand your concerns, but really, this is computer-generated data, that timestamp. And you really get, until we have some certainty that it's always accurate or relatively accurate, I think you go back to the standard, you could go away standard for whether or not it's admissible under that. And I think we did, there was no foundation that this was the correct date or an accurate date. And in any event, I think if you want to, I'd be happy to discuss the harmless nature of this error, because I don't think this evidence was corroborative. I don't think it showed anything. And I think the evidence was fairly overwhelming that this gentleman was the robber of Mr. Conley.
And there was evidence permitted, wasn't there, that the assertion was made that this photograph existed before the time of the robbery.
Mr. Ellis testified, I took the photograph, or someone took the photograph of us on this date, and it was in Hampton, and you could see from the sun that it was midday, my hair was longer, I had different clothes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you had Mr. Conley, who knew the defendant from the neighborhood, ID'ing him as the man who and put the gun in his face and took his tattoo equipment and shoes. You had his father, a Hampton police officer, testifying that he came home from that incident shocked, terrified. He told Detective Gaynor that they were size 8.5, I had to take the soles out because I normally wear a size 9. The defendant admitted Mr. Conley had never been at that house, never knew what size shoe he wore, never knew he took the soles out. He identified the shoes several months later. He explained the yellowing that had occurred, and he did note that there was a distinctive curve in his shoes. So the evidence was overwhelming that Mr. Ellis was guilty of it. So even if the court should have allowed that time date stamp in there, I think there's no error here because it's absolutely harmless. If there are no further questions.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm agreed to ask you to affirm. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Page?
Your Honor, I would respectfully submit that the photograph is really crucial. I mean, there's a very distinctive fringe along this Air Jordan Concord 11s of this patent leather along the bottom that has this distinctive kind of pattern that is absolutely.
But the photo
identical.
Came in.
The photo came in, and but the question is, when was the photo posted?
Well, he testified to that.
He testified to that, but then it's not backed up. The suggestion is, Commonwealth, well, he somehow posted it after the robbery occurred. A robbery occurs at 7:30 or 8 at night, and he's arrested like 8 or 9 o'clock the next morning, and somehow he's supposed to have met with his friends, gotten this picture taken with these identical shoes and posted them on Facebook before he ever gets into secure detention, where he then has no access to computer or his digital camera with which to upload this photo that they're suggesting was manufactured after the fact.
What about the Commonwealth's point of that he's trying to then bolster what he already gets into evidence with something that he has no role in creating, that is the timestamp that is in fact generated by a computer, whether it's by his computer or by Facebook servers over which he has no control.
And it's instituted by his act. His act of posting causes the creation of the posting date. And so it's his act that causes that date. And if there's a different date on it, it has to be his act. Somebody has access to his password, get onto his Facebook page and do all that. And that's all credibility issues that needed to be addressed by the jury. The jury was the one to make that decision. And this was critical evidence, proof of his innocence here, that he had a right to call forth as evidence in his favor. He has a right under Article 1, Section 8 of the Virginia Constitution, call forth evidence in his favor. And this was evidence having a tendency to add force and effect to the party's defense is admissible unless excluded by a specific rule or policy consideration. Any fact, however remote, which tends to establish the probability or improbability of the fact and issue is admissible. And so he had the right to call forth this evidence. He was denied that right, and it had the effect of denying him a fair trial.
Thank you very much. We'll step down to Green Council. Let me...